Enduring through suffering. Let's say that together. Enduring through suffering. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 3 to 10, it outlines some of what the Apostle Paul endured, some of what he endured through along the way of his going in the Lord. And God, by His Word and by His Spirit, I believe, is stirring in our midst to encourage each of us afresh today with a renewed perspective for the implications of sufferings that we would encounter along the way of our going in the Lord. A composite of transliterations reads like this: we live in such a way that no one will stumble because of us. Boy, we could stop right there and have a whole message on that one part of a verse. Lord, help us. But we live in such a way that no one will find any real fault in our ministry. We don't want people to find anything wrong with our work, and so we do nothing that will be a stumbling block to others. In everything we do, we show that we are true ministers of God by how we patiently endure troubles and hardships and calamities of every kind. So that in every way, we show that we are servants of God. We never give up. Even though we face troubles and difficulties and problems of every kind. We have been beaten. We have been put in prison. We have faced angry mobs and worked to exhaustion, endured sleepless nights, and gone without food. Anybody want to join the ministry yet? We are beaten and thrown into prison. People get upset at us and fight against us. We work hard in the Lord, and sometimes we get no sleep or food. We prove ourselves by our purity, by our understanding, by our patience, by our kindness, by the Holy Spirit within us, and by our sincere love. We show that we are God's servants by our pure lives, by our understanding, by our patience, and by our kindness. And we show it by the genuine love of the Spirit of God in and through us. We faithfully preach the truth. God's power is working in us as we use the weapons of righteousness in the right hand for attack and the left hand for defense. By speaking the truth and by depending on God's power to do so. This right way of living has prepared us to defend ourselves against every kind of attack. We serve God whether people honor us or despise us, whether they slander us or praise us. We are honest, but they call us imposters. Some people honor us, but others shame us. Some people say good things about us, but others say bad things. Some people say we are liars, but yet we speak the truth. We are ignored even though we are well known by God. We live close to death, but we are still alive. Amen? Amen. We have been beaten, but we have not been killed. Amen? Amen. To some people, we are not known, but yet we are well known. We seem to be dying, but look, we continue to live. We are punished and hurt, but yet we are not harmed. You know, there's a difference between hurt and harm, right? Yeah. Our hearts ache, but we always have joy. We are poor, but we give spiritual riches to others. We own nothing, and yet we have everything.
Yes, hallelujah.
We have much sadness, but we are always rejoicing.
Hallelujah.
We are poor, but we are making many people rich in faith.
Hallelujah.
We have nothing, but really, we have everything.
Hallelujah.
Amen?
Hallelujah.
Spirit of God, I pray that you would move upon the hearts of each person here today. that the essence of your word through the verses that I just read would become the substantive reality of how we endure through sufferings that we encounter in our own walk with the Lord. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Suffering has implications. And so there are valuable conclusions that can be drawn from suffering that may not be obvious to us at first impression. Why me? Why now? What is God doing? Anybody here ever talk like that other than me? Mm-hmm. Be reminded afresh today. Suffering, catch this now, is one of the tools that God uses to get our attention and to accomplish His purposes in our lives. It's designed to build our trust in the Almighty. But suffering requires the right response if it is to be successful in accomplishing God's purposes. Everybody say, right response.
Right response.
Suffering, I believe, forces us to turn from trust in our own resources to living by even greater faith in God's resources.
Amen.
Now, make no mistake about it. Suffering is not virtuous in and of itself. Nor is it a sign of holiness in and of itself. And it's also not meant to be a means of gaining points with God by some self-induced suffering that would somehow garner favor with God. Not at all. Actually, whenever possible, needless suffering is to be avoided. There were times even in Jesus' life when he avoided certain situations. He would flee certain situations that would have caused him needless suffering. Suffering that was not in God the Father's will and purpose for his life here on earth. Not altogether different from our lives here on this earth. Amen?
Amen.
The Spirit of God, I believe, is stirring in our midst today to refine our perspective as we endure through various sufferings in our lives. How am I responding to it? How should I respond to it? Am I learning from it? Does my response to suffering demonstrate faith? Does my response to suffering demonstrate love for God and for others in Christ-like character? Does my response to suffering demonstrate biblical values and commitment to godly priorities? These are some of the benchmarks to know if our response to suffering is pleasing and acceptable to the Lord. How can God use it in my life for His glory?
Yes.
Simply stated, suffering is anything which hurts or irritates us. Anybody here irritated today? Anybody irritated by anything? Yet in the design of God for our lives, suffering is something that can have the value of getting our attention to rethink the purposes of God in our lives. In a way that would never occur without the particular suffering that we are enduring through.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true.
Can anybody here identify with that other than me?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
God can use suffering in our lives to get us to rethink His purposes for our lives in a way that would never occur without the particular suffering that we are enduring through. Now, there is always a reason for the suffering that we may encounter along the way of our lives in the Lord. There's always a reason. We can suffer simply because we live in a fallen world. And so we experience varying degrees of suffering, either directly or indirectly, by way of the effects of sinful nature of mankind. We can suffer because of our own foolish sinfulness, reaping what we have sown. According to Galatians 6, verses 7 to 9, make a note of it. Galatians 6, verses 7 to 9. We can sometimes suffer because of God's disciplining and punishing hand upon us. Ooh. According to Hebrews 12, verses 4 to 11. Hebrews 12, verses 4 to 11. Make a note of it. We may also suffer persecution because of our faith, especially when we take a stand on biblical issues, enduring through suffering for the sake of upholding righteousness. According to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 11 to 12, make a note of it. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 11 to 12. But whatever the cause of the suffering may be, enduring through it with the proper perspective. Proper perspective. Let's say that together. Proper perspective. Enduring through it with the proper perspective can serve the purpose of revealing an area of need, or revealing a weakness or an attitude that needs to be addressed in the refining process of our lives in Christ. Amen? Amen. And that's according to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 to 7. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 to 7. Now maybe you've noticed this as I have. Suffering is painful. It's painful. It's hard. It's never easy. And regardless of what we come to know about the cause of our suffering, it still hurts to endure through it.
Sure. Yes, it is.
And maybe you feel the same as you've gone through sufferings. Sometimes suffering can be perplexing. Even when we may know some of the biblical reasons for suffering, there can still be a certain degree of bewilderment about what God is after now in our lives, causing us to seek and trust Him even more than we would have apart from the suffering. Amen?
That's true.
Anybody here other than me notice that?
Yes. Absolutely.
That we cry out to God more when we're suffering than when we're not?
Oh, yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Be encouraged afresh today. Suffering ultimately serves a purpose. Suffering is not without meaning, in spite of how baffling or unexpected it may seem to be. Ultimately, as professed believers, enduring through suffering has as its chief purpose, catch this now, the formation and further development of Christ-like character in us. Amen?
Yes.
According to Romans 8, verses 28 to 29, make a note of it. Romans 8. Verses 28 to 29. There were places in Paul's letter to the churches where he said that we enter in to the sufferings of Christ. That's one of the ways that we identify with Christ. That's one of the ways that we identify with Christ is enduring through certain God-appointed sufferings, or enduring through self-inflicted sufferings in a way that would get us to turn ourselves back to the Lord. Amen?
Yes, come on. Yes.
Suffering proves and tests us. Enduring through suffering proves the quality of our character, proves the quality of our integrity and our faith in Christ. According to James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4, make a note of it. James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. Suffering is a process. Oh no, not that word again. Process. It's a process, let's say it together. It's a process. But suffering is a process. And so as a process, it takes some time, depending on the results that God is seeking to accomplish in us. The trials of this life require some time, catch this now, in order to demonstrate endurance. You can't demonstrate endurance apart from the process of time. Amen? I know most of you are really excited about that right now. But in that process, suffering can be a purifier. No matter what the reason is for the suffering, enduring through it purifies us further as we continue to engage the lifelong perfecting process that we're in of becoming more and more like Christ. It's a lifelong process until we come to be in fullness with Christ. Amen? According to Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 to 14. Make a note of it. Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 to 14. Believe it or not, suffering also provides opportunity. Anybody here other than me challenged to characterize suffering as an opportunity? The fact of the matter is that enduring through suffering affords us the opportunity for God's glory to be made evident.
Hallelujah. Yes.
Through our transformation, through our testimony, and catch this now, through our resultant ministry to others who are watching how we go through the suffering. Yeah. Amen?
Amen. Yes.
Be motivated afresh today. Suffering requires our cooperation. Suffering requires the right response if it is to be productive in accomplishing God's purposes in our lives and in the lives of others. I would venture to say that we all want the godly byproducts of enduring through suffering, but how cooperative are we being in that process? Are we crossing our arms, stomping our feet, and clenching our fist at it? Or are we opening our arms and yielding our hearts to whatever God has in mind for it?
Come on.
Make no mistake about it. Suffering is inevitable. Jesus said in John 16, verse 33, that in this life you will have sufferings. And 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 to 19 reminds us that as professed followers of Jesus Christ, we will be required to endure through suffering. But to take good care to go through the suffering in a manner that is pleasing to God, saying and doing what is right in God's eyes along the way, and entrusting ourselves to Him who will never fail you.
Hallelujah.
Amen?
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Sometimes in that process of suffering, in that midst of suffering, it seems like God has failed you, doesn't it? But in due time, He will show forth His faithfulness.
Amen.
In His time and in His way. Amen? And so the question I believe that each of us must face is not if we are going to have suffering trials in our lives, but rather how will we respond to them? Anybody here other than me challenged to have inner joy and peace in the midst of suffering? Anybody here? Anybody lift an honest hand and say, I'm really challenged to have inner joy and peace in the midst of suffering. But in order to endure through suffering with inner joy and peace, catch this now, here's the key, we must be able to see God's reasons and greater purposes for the suffering. It's that simple and complex at the same time. To say, Lord, what is your reason for this? What is the reason that I'm going through this suffering? What is your greater purpose in this suffering that I'm going through? And when we can identify that, when we can know that, then we can have a sense of inner joy and peace in going through it. Amen? Anybody want to say amen? Have we been straying away from God a little bit at a time and ignoring His directives? Are we learning what we need to learn in order to turn back toward a greater intimacy with the Lord? How interested are we in learning what we need to learn from the Lord? And if you're not so interested in that, what are you interested in learning? And what difference is that going to make in your life for the Lord? Have we purposed to determine the cause of the suffering? Is it because something I have done? And what is God wanting me to do in my life or in the lives of others in order to bring about the desired godly result? These are all inquiries that each of us need to make before the throne of God in the midst of suffering. Amen. In order to fully embrace the value of enduring through suffering, we must come to the understanding that enduring through sufferings accomplishes God's chief purpose for our lives, and that is to be conformed to the image of Christ, bottom line. And He has determined in His plan to use suffering for our spiritual development. But how committed are we to deriving spiritual development from sufferings that would come into our lives? Be encouraged afresh today, saints of God, that when we endure through suffering in a manner that is acceptable to God, then it also becomes a means to manifest the character of Christ as a testimony to win others to Christ. Unbelievers who are watching how you go through what you're going through. Are you repelling or attracting them to Christ as a professed believer?
Yeah, that's good.
When we endure through suffering in a manner that is pleasing to God, catch this now, then it also becomes a means to develop our capacity to sympathize with and to comfort others in their suffering. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 to 5, make a note of it. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. Maybe you've experienced this as I have, being able to effectively comfort someone in their suffering because you've endured through the same type of suffering that they're struggling with.
Yeah, right.
And you've already come through it victoriously in the Lord. Amen?
Yes.
So there's an added value that we can derive from enduring through suffering in a way that's pleasing to the Lord. It becomes a ministry to others. Amen?
Yes.
When we recognize that enduring through suffering is a training tool that helps us to develop further in Christ, then we will find ourselves eagerly saying, "Show me why, Lord," rather than "Why me, Lord?" "Show me why, Lord. Show me why, Lord." Let's say that together. "Show me why, Lord." Say it again. "Show me why, Lord." One more time. "Show me why, Lord," rather than "Why me, Lord?" You know what God's answer to that is? "Why not you?"
Come on.
Now, if a dad tells his child to do something that the child likes to do, and the child does it, then the child has certainly obeyed, but he or she hasn't really learned as much about obedience as they would have had the dad asked the child to do something that they really didn't want to do. Get the picture?
Yeah.
Enduring through suffering can be similar to that, in that our Heavenly Father may be telling us to do something or to address something that we really would rather not. Anybody here with me in that ever?
Mm-hmm.
And so enduring through suffering, catch this now, is in a manner that is pleasing and acceptable to God. Enduring through suffering in a manner that is pleasing and acceptable to God becomes a test of our obedience, which requires us to have faith in the belief that what God is requiring of us is always for our greater good. and that he always has our best interests at heart, regardless of how challenging or even how overwhelming things might appear to us in the natural. And so obediently enduring through suffering causes us to carry on by the power and provision of God rather than by our own.
Hallelujah.
God always backs obedience with the manifest reality of his faithfulness.
Hallelujah. Yes.
God always backs obedience with the manifest reality of his faithfulness. Amen?
Hallelujah. Yes.
If our fellowship with the Lord has gone cold and indifferent, and we've strayed away from living our lives as we should in his eyes, then suffering becomes a means of God's punishing hand upon us to get us back on track with him. Mm-hmm. Let the spankings begin. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. But when we're remaining fervent in our fellowship with the Lord, you might think, well, why would I have to go through suffering? I'm remaining fervent in my fellowship with the Lord. I'm remaining on track with living my life the way that I should in his sight. But in that case, suffering becomes a means of God's handiwork to make us even more fruitful and productive for his purposes. A pruning kind of a means. The loving and skillful handiwork of the heavenly vine dresser to make us more fruitful. Just the way that Jesus described in John 15, verses 1 and 2. That even those who are fruitful will be pruned at times by way of sufferings so that they will be even more fruitful.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Making us aware of and pruning away the things that are hindering our growth in the Lord. Things that we may not even be aware of that God is trying to reveal to us through the suffering. And so enduring through suffering, catch this now, can be a mirror of reproof to refine us further in our character development in Christ. We can get to the place of joyfully enduring through suffering as we continue to believe the promises of God and apply biblical principles of our faith. And then we will find ourselves not just going through suffering, but growing through suffering. Amen?
Amen.
Not just going through suffering, but growing through suffering. I want to grow through suffering. Let's say that together. I want to grow through suffering. And then the life and character of Christ will become more and more evident in our lives, resulting in a greater degree of trust and peace and joy and steadiness and stability and the manifestation of biblical values and faithfulness and obedience, in contrast to a victim mentality, which gives rise to complaining, blaming, and angry reactions toward God and other people. A victim mentality gives rise to that kind of expression. Complaining, blaming, and angry reactions toward God and other people. Do you have a victim mentality here today? Or do you have a victor's mentality?
Hallelujah.
Oh, Spirit of God, come and replace the victim with the victor for your glory in the lives of every person in this place, Lord God Almighty. Would you receive that here today?
Lord, I receive it, Lord. Hallelujah.
With reference to Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 to 14, the Apostle Paul penned his letter to the Philippian believers while he was in Rome, suffering imprisonment for his persistent public witness for the sake of Christ. He was chained daily to Roman soldiers while under house arrest. Get the picture. Uncertain about whether or not he would be released or executed. He could have easily been complaining, sulking, and bitter, Catch this now. Which would have discredited his witness and undermined his ministry. But instead, he remained steadfast in the outward expression of his trust in God's faithfulness, which resulted in the further expansion of his ministry.
Hallelujah.
Even while under the sufferings of imprisonment. Isn't that amazing?
Amen.
That's God.
Amen. Yes. Hallelujah.
What is your outward expression as you endure through suffering? Is it validating and reinforcing the integrity of your witness and ministry? Or is it discrediting your witness and undermining your ministry? Let us pray and take some time now to respond to the word of the Lord as it has come to us today. That by the Spirit of God, we would receive fresh measures of revelation, knowledge, and wisdom to recognize God's purpose and strategy for whatever we may be suffering through. And that by the Spirit of God, we would receive fresh measures of grace to sustain us and power to strengthen us to endure victoriously through suffering for our greater good and for God's greatest glory. Bow your heads and respond before the throne of God to that prayer.